This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend less time in line and more time riding your favorite attractions. Visit TouringPlans.com.
Hey everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 265 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to talk to Sam about the trip he just got back from Walt Disney World. Before we get started, I want to introduce who we have on the show with us tonight. First of all, we have Morgan. Hey Morgan, how's it going?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Doing good. Doing well. And we also have Sam. Hey, Sam, welcome back.
Well, I thank you so much, Ed. It's great to be back. Well, it's not great to be back,
no,
but you
not.
Know what I mean.
Yeah, we do. Well, Sam is fresh off a trip from Walt Disney World. He actually had to go down. It wasn't a choice. His daughter was involved in an event down in Walt Disney World, and Sam had to take her down to go attend that.
That's exactly the way I look at it. I had to go down. She was lucky enough to be invited to participate in a Dance the Magic event with her local dance studio, which basically means she got to dance down the middle of Main Street, USA, literally in the pre-parade with about 800 other high school and middle school girls. So that was kind of cool, and I just had to go.
The Very things cool. you do as a parent.
Exactly.
Was it a full family trip?
It was not a full family, but most of us.
Okay, very cool.
Because others had just used some vacation time to get down there for the Nerds trip.
So yep.
It was kind of like taking a week-long trip, but in two different weekends. That's really what we did.
Gotcha. Where'd you stay this time?
This time we stayed over at the Caribbean Beach Resorts.
Oh, nice. Oh, you must have saw a lot of that Skyliner construction.
We were able to see a lot of Skyliner. We got to see the brand new facilities that opened just a few months ago, Sebastian's, some of the other new things there, which included a playground that's pirates themed, a water slide that looked really cool, and it looks pretty exciting, some of the things they've changed over there at the Caribbean Beach.
Oh, that's so cool. They're getting some of that stuff open. It's been under construction for a while.
It has been, and we even got to touch one of the Skyliner poles because it wasn't all that far from our room, kind of in the middle between the clusters of rooms they have. We were able to walk right up to it and touch it and take pictures with it, and that's what I guess Nerdy's families do. We take pictures with Skyliner poles.
Oh, I like how you say we got to touch it because it reminds me of Finding Nemo. You know, I got to touch the butt.
Don't touch the butt. Don't touch the pole. Yeah. Don't touch it. But it was pretty cool. The wires are run through it, and it doesn't look as bad as I thought it would. I think there's either a coat of paint coming to it or some kind of skin to go around it, but it's there. It's real.
Very cool. We were theorizing they're going to hopefully theme it a little bit toward wherever it's located. Like maybe we'll get some nice Caribbean colors on that thing.
A big palm tree, who knows? And you know what, it's interesting to see it now because all you have are the poles, the stanchions, and the wires going through it. I mean we have no idea what this thing's going to look like when it's loaded with these gondolas that are all different colors with Disney characters on it, and I think it'll be interesting to even see if you can are the people going to be able to hear you? Can you hear them? How much noise is this thing going to make? There's so many unanswered questions. It's interesting.
Oh, very
Our
true.
Disney nerd brains are going wild.
Exactly.
Oh, it's crazy.
I
was just thinking, it is going right over a place where you're going to be sleeping. Is there a certain time at night this thing kicks off or stops? Or
I have no idea. Is there going to be noise associated? Are you going to hear this thing as it rolls over?
It's going to have the soundtrack just everywhere. The speakers are inside and out.
But the one thing I found interesting, especially staying at the Caribbean, Is now you can finally see where these things are. You can see where the turn is over on the walkway from Boardwalk to Hollywood Studios. You can see where the station is at the Riviera. You can see where the station is at Caribbean Beach. And obviously Hollywood Studios seems to be the one we see most of the pictures of because everybody sees that when they walk in.
Sure.
Unlike Epcot, where you only see it if you're going through International Gateway. But there's some questions about how this thing's going to run. And I think we alluded to it on last show. But if it goes from Epcot to the Riviera, do you then have to get off and get on another one to go to Caribbean Beach and then get off and get on another one to go to Hollywood Studios? And just things we don't know yet. Well, and you can't really speculate because you can't see what's inside those stations.
Right. But the getting on and off does like make a lot more sense as far as being able to have the flow of this more controllable. It's not like you're stuck on it until like, you know, you're done. And you'll be able to pick, I guess, what your final destination is going to be.
And then we'll just have to wait and see. But in looking at it, if you're at the Caribbean and I'm staying, you know, obviously the Riviera is still under construction. That's not open yet. But the station by the Riviera obviously goes straight to Epcot. It goes to Return and then goes to Epcot. So you could get on there and go right to Epcot. Mm-hmm. Or it looks like you can walk to the Caribbean Beach station, which would take you straight to Hollywood Studios. The question becomes, if you got on at Caribbean Beach and went to the Riviera, do you have to change cars, or can they flip the... So many questions.
I need a map in front of me to do this.
Yes, you're gonna need a map and a pencil.
Right, but I tell you what, it is going to be something we're going to look at as we get closer to this opening, which it's supposed to be fall 2019. So,
you know what? I think it's just a matter of time before those cars start to go on those cables.
Right. And some of our questions get answered. One of the other theories we had about the Skyliner was that wouldn't it be cool if you can actually get into the car and select your destination? That way the car itself would know how to route itself and get on and off and move around and stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be really
cool.
Get
to your park.
You know what? Then it would all have to be monsters themed and be like the Doors. That'd be cool. Just flying through the air and going all different directions. That would be really neat.
Oh, no. We're not flying through the air. We're going at a sedate 2 miles an hour or 4 miles an hour.
No, 16 or something along those lines. We're going to be zipping. No, it's not going to be that fast. But it'll be, I can't wait to see. You know, this all gets down to the question we had when they announced it. If you remember, we sat down and we calculated that you could put 200 people on a friendship boat and it goes every 20 minutes. So that gives you, you can figure out how many people that is an hour. And will these things carry more than that or less than that or the same as that? That's questions to be answered.
True. Very true. And I tell you what, the size of the switching stations are leading me to believe that this is going to be a high capacity transportation system.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely it is. But I think when we first heard the announcement, we were thinking like Magic Kingdom stations, which were very mm-hmm. small and very, you know, old. So yeah,
they were, and they used to get some pretty good queues going on, if I can remember right. It's been so long.
Sure. And it depended on, and this is another thing we've discussed a couple times, is that it also depends on the loading method. If you have one person that has an issue loading onto the car, you have to stop the entire line. So mm-hmm. yeah, we'll see how this goes. Definitely can't wait. So you were able to experience something new at Hollywood Studios.
I was able to, and I decided, you know what, last trip for the Nerds trip, we did not have Slink Dog Fast Passes, and we waited probably 90 minutes, even though the standby line was 60 minutes to wait to ride Slink Dog. And it led to the good old question, you know, this extra morning magic thing that Disney has sounds really good. For those of you that don't know, this is an extra fee. Think of it as a hard ticket. You have to have a ticket to Hollywood Studios, so we're annual pass members. That was our ticket. And then you pay an additional, I think it was $69 a person. And for that $69 a person, you got to get in to Hollywood Studios at 7:30 a.m. when the park opens at 9 a.m.
Nice.
So that's an hour and a half that you are in Toy Story Land, where Slink Dog, Toy Story Mania, and Alien Swirling Saucers are all opened and ready to go.
How'd it go?
Wow.
So, of course, this starts with 7:30 in the morning. So that's the thing you got to get over first. But, you know, if you're going to work or if you're doing something like that, you're going to be up at that time anyway. I mean, this is Walt Disney World.
Right.
The cool part was we were in the parking lot for Hollywood Studios while the sun was rising, which was really cool to see.
Yes. And
we got there right at, you know, probably 7:25. We were walking into the gate. There were not many people there when we got there. In fact, you just pretty much walked right up. They had, you know, their iPads, some cast members. They scanned our magic bands where I had linked these tickets, and they put a wristband on us, and they let us go right in. We were essentially walking right down Hollywood Boulevard with not many people at all in the park. And those that were there were headed straight to Toy Story Land, as you would expect.
Of course.
Because nothing else was open, is that correct?
Because nothing else was opened, although breakfast was indeed opened.
Now,
and I'll get back to that in a second. But of course, if this event lasted from 7:30 until 10, because the breakfast went until 10 as well. Breakfast is included in that $69, which honestly is one of the reasons why I was able to justify in my mind doing this, because you're going to eat.
Sure, makes it a little bit more justifiable.
Absolutely. And when you look at the schedule, you know that at 9 o'clock, when the park opens, the line for Slink Dogs are going to go to an hour, right, immediately.
Right.
So that's when I plan on going to have breakfast, which is an ABC commissary. Right. It just makes sense. That's how I'm going to plan this. I'm going to ride things as many times as I can, and then we're going to go right into to have breakfast. Now, the interesting part was I'm walking in there at 8:30 by the time we get back there, and there are already people riding things. I don't know exactly when they let the first people in, but if it starts at 7:30 and I'm walking in at 7:30, there are people on Slink Dogs. You might be able to get there a little earlier. Is what I'm thinking, right?
It sounds like standard rope drop. You usually get in about 20 minutes before the normal opening of the park.
So. I don't know how much earlier, but I'm thinking people got in before 7:30.
Right. Well,
so
when you
keep
said
that
you,
in mind if you book this.
And when you said you got to the park at 7:25, I was kind of wondering about that too, because normally for 7:30, whatever the event, I would still try to get there around 7:05, you know, 5 after, and expect to get at least a little further in.
Absolutely. And here's actually, as we go through pictures, which I will, and Ed, I promise, I will blog about this event and all of the things that we did, because it struck me as being that good.
Excellent.
To kind of give you an idea. But here's Toy Story Mania as we were entering, and you can see the Fast Pass return times, the current time. So we were walking into and past Toy Story Mania at 7:30. So that's, we were up front at 7:25-ish or so, and just beeline straight back there. Mm-hmm. With, by the way, nobody in. Just go right ahead and walk on that thing. Same with Alien Swirling Saucers. There's nobody at all back there because, of course, everybody is going straight to Slink Dog, right?
Right. See, now that's a memory in itself, being able to walk on rides, whenever it is, the morning, nighttime, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You remember those stories a long time.
Anytime. Absolutely. So we were straight on the Slink Dog. The queue's completely empty. There's nobody back there. I'm taking all the pictures that I can, of course, as we're going back there. We were able to ride Slink Dog once. Then we rode it again, two rides. Rode it again, three rides, right? And this is walking out of the exit, making an immediate turn into the Fast Pass lane and walking up with nobody in front of us. At most, we waited one Slink Dog car. That was it.
And that's how it should
be.
Wow. That's exactly how it should be for an event.
At
like
most,
this.
We waited one car. Like, they had people in it, and we were, okay, go ahead, get in row three or whatever, and we waited for one to leave and then come back. We did it four times as a family when my wife and my daughter decided that was enough. But my little guy and I decided it wasn't enough because we could, right? So we rode it a fifth time. Five times, and we come out, and it was 7:55, and we'd ridden five times.
Oh yeah, and you got your fill of that ride now for the next two trips.
We got our fill, and we were making up for the fact that we waited, you know, 75, 80, 85 minutes on the Nerds trip to ride this because we didn't have a Fast Pass. And it's amazing when you look at some of the pictures and just nobody's in the queue. We just walk up and we get right back in that sucker. Then we went over the alien swirling saucers. We rode that a couple of times. Andy's lunchbox was not opened for this event. They did have a table with coffee and water if you wanted to grab a coffee, which I did, and grab a water. That's kind of cool. So you could skip through that. Because the breakfast location isn't exactly convenient if you're familiar with where Toy Story Land is and where ABC Commissary is. They're not close to each other at all. You have to, okay, if we're going to go to breakfast, we're probably not going to come back. And that's what ended up happening. We did ride after two rides on Alien Swirling Saucers. Then we did two rides of Toy Story Mania. We would have done three. But honestly, I don't think my arm was going to make it through a third ride. it's one of those things that you don't realize until you do it that many times that quick. And you go, oh, my arm is killing me.
Oh, yeah.
I did notice, and one of the other things, we happened to get lucky and time it just right. As we were walking in, right at 7:30, the PhotoPass photographer had just showed up for the Woody, the front Woody sign, which has the winner scarf on him. So we were the only family there, and we snagged a quick picture, which was pretty cool. The only place that there was a line was for the meet and greets to see Woody and Jesse. That's the only place that I saw people queued, which we didn't do because I wasn't waiting in line for anything.
Right. And you can see them anytime.
That's what I thought. And the interesting part is we walked right around the corner, and Buzz Lightyear was all by himself because nobody went down a little further to see if he was there, which was kind of cool.
Very interesting.
So getting there at 7:30, by 8:45, we had done everything we said, two Alien Swirling Saucers, two Toy Story Mania, five times on Slink Dog. Then we did a meet and greet with Buzz and had our picture taken in front of the Toy Story sign, to which point we were like, you know what? We're hungry. Let's go eat. So we could have gone 15 more minutes, but we decided not to.
Right.
So we headed out. So that in itself was pretty incredible to get some of those pictures in there, to get the image. Just the thought of walking on those lines with nothing. It's kind of interesting. As we were leaving, it was 15 minutes before the park was set to open, and you could see the cast members all getting together to start the Slink Dog queue, the standby line, and get people ready.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, I tell you what, this is something to think about, though. If you guys are planning on going to Hollywood Studios and you have your trip planned around getting there at the crack of dawn because you couldn't get your fast pass for Slink Dog, make sure you check to see if one of these events is there that morning. If it is, your whole strategy of getting there for Rope Drop is done because as you walk into the park, there's already people in Toy Story Land now that have been there for a couple hours and are probably going to stay there. Their party ends at 9 or 10 o'clock, but they don't have to leave.
Yeah, not at all. You can stay there. Although at that point, like I said, we went to breakfast. And I have to tell you, the biggest surprise of this event, you know, the memories with the family, riding things, that's all awesome. And we could talk about that all day and everybody can relate to that. The breakfast was really, really good.
Oh, I remember seeing this
menu. That's what I want to hear about.
The breakfast was inside ABC Commissary. They had a buffet set up that was continental breakfast with your juices and your teas, and there'll be pictures in the photo report of that. But you go up to the counter and you could order off of the menu as many and as much as you wanted, right? A Mexican egg bowl, a shrimp and southern grits bowl was phenomenal. Fried chicken and cinnamon sugar donut bowl. It's like chicken and waffles, but it's chicken and donuts.
And that actually
was kind of cool.
That sounded really, really good.
It is, and if there are also some kids things there as well, and of course juices, things along those lines. But as I go through these are the images that will be in the blog of the different items. I did not get the Mexican egg bowl. This is the chicken and donuts with sweet potato hash brown or sweet potato barrel rolls, because they don't say tater tots. The sweet potato tater tots were so good. They were amazing. That's the avocado toast. The shrimp and grits bowl is really, really, really good. The buffet with coffee and drinks and juices and cereal and you name it. And again, this was just go up and order as much as you wanted. It was really, really good. Some platters as well with salmon and, you know.
Oh, wow.
And I started thinking about it because a couple of these things when I ordered it, the breakfast platter, which think of it as your smoked salmon, and then you have some of your cut meats, maybe a bruschetta, supersada, and then a little bit of a salad and olives. And it looked very similar to something that you would get over at Baseline Tap House. And then I remember these guys share the same kitchen. It's one big kitchen.
Right.
So it kind of made sense, and it was really, really good. So the breakfast was indeed a surprise. And because you were in there until 10 o'clock, there's no reason you couldn't get something right before 10 and just hang out in there. They're not kicking you out. What happened at 10 o'clock at ABC Commissary is they took down all of the buffets and things like that because they opened for lunch at 11. So they gave themselves an hour to kind of do that. And,
right.
You know, we sat in there till probably quarter after 10.
Well,
and watched the wait for Slink Dog Dash immediately go to like 65 minutes at 9 o'clock.
Dynamic goes crazy. Well, tell me this: could you have walked in there at about 8 o'clock, gotten some breakfast, and then come back at 9:30 and had some more breakfast before going on?
I believe that you could have. Yes, being that this was our first time, and it was interesting because as you walk in, right in front of where the Star Wars Galaxy Far Far Away is, when you get in front of the Chinese Theater, there's cast members. And the cast members will tell you, breakfast is in the ABC Commissary and Toy Story Land is this way. Kind of like, what do you want to do? And as soon as I said that, I'm like, guys, we are going to Toy Story Land. We're not going to breakfast.
Oh, sure,
because
sure.
Toy Story, there's no way. But there were families going to breakfast first. And you could do that. I mean, maybe from 7:30 until 8 o'clock, you're grabbing breakfast and then you're on all the rides after that. I think you definitely could have done that. It was just like rope drop in this aspect, Ed, and I know you've been through this a bunch of times, and Morgan, probably you as well. You get there at rope drop, and there's a huge line for whatever attraction you want to go on, and then that line sort of gets smaller before it builds back up. Same was true at Slink Dog. Like, everybody went there first, so the longest we had to wait was that first ride. Then after that, it was just walk on, walk off, walk on. Just do the loop really quickly.
Right, right. And I just... really thinking back to the trip, I was just kind of remembering how long that line got that morning. By the time we left Toy Story Land, the line had gotten out to One Man's Dream.
That's incredible.
And you got to remember, when you get into Toy Story Land, you get to the point where you take a turn to go to Slink Dog, and you're literally going another couple hundred yards before you get to the ride itself.
Absolutely.
But by time, it was like maybe another like 45 minutes later, the line was back inside the area, so...
So bottom line, the Hollywood Studios extra morning magic, if you're after riding those attractions without waiting, you couldn't get the fast pass with the breakfast, I think this is definitely worth it. And of course, worth is an opinion. We talk about that all the time. I loved it. I know they do this at Magic Kingdom as well. I've not done that. And now they're doing more of these evening extras, including Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. So kind of the opposite side.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So now I understand you also attended the Christmas party this trip.
I did. In fact, the same day. We burned the candle on both ends that day, which I don't recommend doing all that often. And when I say that, I mean getting up super early, then staying up late. We were able to go back to the Caribbean and catch a little cat nap between. But we did a Christmas party as well. And Morgan, you did the Christmas party earlier this year, right?
I did. I did it the week that we were there for the meetup. I did it opening night.
Which was, you did it opening night. So I haven't gone in probably 3 years. One of the biggest changes I noticed was it was different cookies or pretzels or different things at the different treat stations.
Yeah, I did notice that. It was probably about 3 years since I had done it too.
Okay.
My trip for this time, I didn't get to experience as many of the snacks because I was more photographer brain, get those fireworks shots and the parade shots and all that.
And it was kind of interesting because I know the advice that we've given on the show, and I still stand by this, is if you're going to a Halloween party or the Christmas party, you need to decide what it is that you want to do.
Yes.
Meaning, are you going to ride the rides because the lines are going to be short? or are you going to participate in the activities, the stage shows, the parades, the fireworks? Or are you going to visit all of the unique characters that you'll find throughout the park? Because those are really three different things that you could spend the whole night doing. We sort of picked between some attractions with very low lines, like we walked on to Pirates. It was a 5-minute wait, but by the time we got back there, we were on it. But then we watched fireworks and we watched a parade as well. But we skipped some of the dance parties and the Tomorrowland party that they have over there. So we did a little bit of both. And I think based on the morning, being on all that Toy Story Land stuff really quick and then going to Magic Kingdom and getting on a few of the classics rather quickly was really good.
You got to spoil yourself a little bit by...
We did, absolutely. I will say if you're going to do it, you need to get on Space Mountain before the fireworks are over.
Right.
As soon as the fireworks are over, I think everyone that watched them goes to Space Mountain because it's the only time there was a line in any attraction that I noticed.
And with the fireworks show at the Christmas party, you could essentially watch it from maybe like the Tomorrowland Bridge.
Yep.
Or kind of, you know, closer to Tomorrowland, if not in Tomorrowland, because you've got that 360 fireworks view. It's not like Happily Ever After where there's everything projected on the castle. So you can watch it from Tomorrowland and then just jump on Space Mountain.
Those 360 degree fireworks are so impressive every time I see them.
Oh, yeah.
They wow, really are.
That says a lot. That's it. It's a really good compliment for them.
That's why, so when I did it and, you know, I live streamed it on our Facebook, I was on the second floor of the train station, which I hate giving out this tip, but anytime there's a 360 fireworks show, so far, that has been my favorite spot to watch them, get the pictures, video. And I even had a VIP section roped off in the middle of the train station, and the kid wanted to like go downstairs and go close to the castle and watch the fireworks, and I went to the mom and was like, listen,
don't do it.
You want to keep your kids here. It's a 360 degrees. They're gonna get a better view here. And after the show, she was like, thank you.
Nice.
And that's absolutely right. That's the best advice you could give them. Stay where you are. Don't go down there. That was a perfect spot.
Yeah.
What else did I see? Oh, I know what else I experienced for the first time this trip. The Space Mountain exit is opened.
Oh, that's right.
Which was not open when we were there for the Nerds meetup.
So no more walking over the railroad tracks and taking your life in your hands?
So all of that, Ed, that entire like walkway. So if you're not aware, temporarily you were exiting from Space Mountain out of the back of Space Mountain and walking around it on what appeared to be a temporary walkway all the way across the train tracks back into Tomorrowland. And it turns out it was a temporary walkway because it's completely gone. None of it's there anymore.
Well, I still couldn't figure out why they got rid of the other exit because the store was still open. So I did not understand why they moved it. Where is it now?
So essentially what they did is they've completely removed the moving walkway that was the exit of Space Mountain.
Oh, so it was just rerouting it while they did that. Okay, so it's a walkout now.
It's a walkout now. The scenes are all the same, meaning you still have that robot character and you still have the kitchen and you still have the Mars scene and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The thing I found interesting was as you walk through it, you're much lower. Like, you used to look down on some of those things. Now you're looking up on them, if that makes sense.
Well, sure, because you were on the conveyor, what had to be on wheels, and...
They just completely took it out of there and put carpet down to where that used to be.
That little bit of that was actually fun that I remember for the longest time, actually, kind of bouncing on that thing as you're walking along.
Oh, absolutely. Bouncing on it was the most fun.
Yeah.
Bouncing up and down on it, that's the first thing you teach the kids, right? It's how to bounce up and down on that thing and walk back out. So that is completely done. And then towards the end of it, there's almost like a switchback where you walk up and walk back and you go through some weird turns and you end up coming out into the gift shop where the arcade used to be. It's kind of interesting how they've done that. I'll look for some references to that.
But it's still a store in there though, right?
Absolutely. It's still the same store. Just now you're dumping into that store where the arcade used to be, if you remember those doors. Remember they just kind of put a wall up, walled off the barcade?
Mm-hmm.
So now take that wall down, and it's a big ramp that goes down to the exit of Space Mountain.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. It was interesting. You know, as nerds, it's one of those things. We'll be like, whoa, what happened here?
Right, right, right. Did you see anything else going on as far as maybe any work over at Stitch? I keep hearing things about that side or anything.
No, because that was being used as a meet and greet for the Christmas party. So I don't think anything was actually happening in there other than I didn't go in, but a Stitch in there and a Santa hat maybe for the Christmas party.
Right. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I walked by when I was there for the Christmas party and was Stitch in a Christmas hat.
You can start to notice if we go back up that little trail that leads from Tomorrowland up to Storybook Circus. There's some indications that Tron is in progress and being built, and you can see some cranes in the distance. Which, by the way, the day after we left, the train is actually down for most of December for that construction back there.
Is Tron going to go over the railroad tracks?
Yes, I believe it is, because Tron is going to go over top of the speedway. Some of that concept art shows Tron, you know, going zooming by over top of the speedway while the cars are going underneath it.
Right, right.
So it would have to.
So I'm going to assume the base is on the other side of the railroad tracks and it's going to come across into Tomorrowland.
Yes.
Nice.
That's what I'd assume. So that looked kind of cool to see that. We know that one's way out there, but construction has started, and that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, no, I can't wait for that one. That looked extraordinary. Well, it sounds like you had a fun trip.
Absolutely. Isn't there? There's always a fun trip, right?
I was about to say, is there really such thing as a bad trip to Disney?
No, there's not. Did you get over to Epcot and experience any of those holiday kiosks, the food places?
I did get to Epcot. I got to a few of the holiday kiosks, not all of them.
Well, I can't expect you to get to all of them, but how did
Well, I tried. I always try to get to them, right? Some really good stuff going around. I was impressed with quite a few things over at Epcot. I just love Epcot for any festival, and the Festival of the Holidays is wonderful. We did do the scavenger hunt, which is the Chippendale Christmas tree spree, and the gift for that is actually really cool when you're finished. It's a Figment Christmas card that has a ornament inside of it that is Spaceship Earth, which is kind of cool.
Oh, very nice.
They also had a cookie stroll, which is where you buy four cookies around World Showcase and you get a free glass of milk, and it's a little scavenger hunt type thing. So that was cool.
A free glass of milk.
Yeah, that's the way it was written, but yeah.
Which, of course, I'm sure they have the lactose intolerant equivalent, because they like doing the allergy-friendly options too for everyone.
Yeah. Ralph Breaks the Internet was back. There's a meet and greet for Ralph, which when I originally saw the pictures, I thought that they removed Big Hero, which they did not. Ralph is now sort of around the corner in that same building. So there's a pretty cool area back there.
Oh, so those are the inside meet and greets at Epcot?
Yes. Mm-hmm. On the right-hand side, same kind of place, yes. New annual pass holder pin.
Oh, they've got Goofy now.
Ah, the Goofy magnet.
Goofy magnet, yes.
That's actually kind of a nice thing.
Did you stick your hand in and get a handful to send all of us?
No, that was a scan your band and you get one heavily guarded.
Oh, it's the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, you have to see how that one goes. There were a couple of treats that I really liked during Festival of Holidays. A holiday apple pie sundae back in America. That was really, really good.
Boy, that would probably go. I'm sorry, but I was thinking that would probably go well with the Budweiser.
It was interesting to see that correlation. But between the holiday apple pie sundae, which is a snack credit, by the way, it's vanilla soft serve with caramel sauce and crunchy apple strudel. Between that and over in Germany, there was a caramel pretzel sundae where the sundae was on top of the pretzel, for crying out loud.
Nice.
So put a pretzel in a bowl, load it up, and then put... Yeah, I had those two things the same day. That wasn't a very good So.
Wow.
They were good.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
I'm booking my trip. I got to try that pretzel thing.
It's pretty cool. Well, it was difficult to eat, though, to be honest. So it's a whole pretzel in the bottom of one of those little paper basket things with ice cream on top of it. And it, once you get to the pretzel, it's kind of all soppy and gooey. And how do you eat that?
Yeah, and is it just like the pretzels you can get at the beer cart normally?
Smaller, but yes, just like this.
Okay.
I'd like the challenge.
There's nothing wrong with a challenge like that.
Do they still have the storytellers at Epcot?
Yes, absolutely they do.
For the holidays and they were all out?
I did not seek out any of them, but I did witness a few of them, and they're good as they always have been.
Mm-hmm. Which, personally, that's one of my favorite things about the holidays at Disney in general, is being able to kind of get a taste of the holidays in other countries when you're in the World Showcase.
Oh, right.
See, I thought getting a taste of the holidays was all about tasting the food, but you're right.
Yeah. We, with the kids, when they were very young, we justified that as far as a learning experience for their teachers to get them out of school for that week.
Yep.
So they were able to do reports on that, different types of Christmas traditions.
As they should.
Right, right, right. Did you see any of the Candlelight Processional? We were all lucky enough, actually, I guess it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
It was Tuesday.
To see the live streaming. Neil Patrick Harris did the Candlelight Processional at the Disney Park at Epcot. It was pretty cool. What was even cooler is we were able to bring it to everybody on our Facebook page.
That was actually really cool. And I have to say, I personally like Neil Patrick's explanation of what Epcot stands for. That's my new favorite explanation.
So I missed it. Can you share?
It was, and of course, now that you got me on the spot, I'm probably going to say it wrong. Every parent can order tequila.
Bingo.
Haven't heard that one. Every parent comes out tired.
Sure.
Every pocket comes out thinner. I've heard all those.
I like MPH's description.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that works. That works. I tell you what, the Candlelight Processional was probably one of the most magical experiences we've done down at the parks during the holiday season. I really recommend you trying to check this out. Even if you don't have a seat and you're just passing by, stop for a couple minutes and listen up and definitely enjoy it. The hosts are incredible. You get such great different personalities telling the story. And the music, the singing, it is very, very incredible. And you know what? It's the time of the year where it definitely works very well.
It's one of those experiences that is emotional for probably everybody. Like, there's an emotional reaction to it every time you see it.
The music's just incredible. And when the choir starts singing, I mean, that's what brings the emotions. It's all of that at once. It's incredible.
Yep, oh, no doubt. Did you guys see John Stamos the other night doing the Candlelight Processional? I think it was a couple nights before Neil Patrick Harris did his.
Yeah, I think he was right before Neil Patrick Harris.
Right, I definitely would have loved to see that one.
One night that the day that my daughter marched at Magic Kingdom or danced with Dance the Magic, which is pretty cool all in itself. It was a Christmas party that night, so we had to get out of Magic Kingdom. And as we were headed to Disney Springs to have a meal and check things out down there, the thought crossed my mind, hey, we could go to Epcot. And then a couple days later, my wife said, it was John Stamos that night. We should have gone. And I didn't know. So I got yelled at for that one. And I forget who it was that we saw, but we did stop to listen for a little while.
Mm-hmm. And he was new addition. John Stamos was a new addition this year.
Oh, I didn't realize he hadn't done it before. I assumed that he did.
Oh, yeah. Being such a Disney fan that he is, you would have think that he would have done it already by now.
Yeah, maybe he's more West Coast.
He's definitely got that vibe going. West Coast.
Yeah. Definitely a very fun time. Do they still do the restaurant experiences for Candlelight Processional? Where you'll get the good seats?
Yes, the dining plan where you get... The dining plan where you get... VIP seating, a preferred seating. I forget what they call it, but yeah, the wristbands.
Right, right.
And they line you up on the other side. Yes.
Oh, yeah. And I tell you what, guys, and I kind of say this every year, and I apologize if you've heard it already, but if you do get a chance to go to the Candlelight Processional, do not sit in the first three or four rows. Try to sit behind that area. If you sit too far up, you really cannot see the entire stage and see the entire show. So yep. Sitting a little bit back is definitely beneficial for this one.
I would agree.
Okay, well, again, Sam, it sounds like you had an incredible trip.
It was too short, as always.
For being so
quick. It was one of those, it's interesting because it was 4 days. We got there very late on Wednesday. We were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, coming back very, very early Monday, a 6 a.m. flight, so you're on the ground and can go to work. And initially, we had one park each of the days, and the kids ended up changing things, and we never made it to Animal Kingdom this trip. It was more Epcot Studios and Magic Kingdom. And I tell you what, the holiday stuff happening in Hollywood Studios, there was a lot to do. There was a lot to see. It felt like it closed really early. We were able to pull off Fantasmic and Jingle Bell Jingle Bam the same night, although we left Fantasmic right as the boat was starting to come out. So we knew we were cutting that close, but we saw all of Jingle Bell Jingle Bam. Mm-hmm. That worked out nicely, and it was a great trip.
Oh, right. And as we always tell people, you can't do everything, so don't hurt yourself or make it a bad trip trying to. Yep. And luckily enough for Sam and his family, they were able to get down there last month, so they did Animal Kingdom a couple of different times. So
absolutely, we did.
Easy enough not to this time. Well, very cool.
Not that we didn't miss it, it's like, darn it.
Oh, yeah, and it's one of those, sometimes you realize it after you're gone. It's like, oh, crap, I didn't even get to Animal Kingdom.
Well, last time it was, oh, crap, we didn't get to Springs. And I really wanted to get down there because I wanted to see the Christmas tree trail, which we were able to do. And I already posted the blog about the Christmas tree trail,
mm-hmm. Yep.
Which was very, very busy. And if I do have one word of advice for anyone, especially if you want to see Santa Claus, the Santa Chateau is over by the Christmas tree trail, which is essentially the old bus stop that was way over on the shopping district side or market district, whatever they used to call it. When you go to see Santa, you basically put your name on a list and they take your cell phone number to text you back. And when we were there, it was a 210-minute expected wait to see Santa.
Wow.
So go there first is my advice. Go there first and get checked in, and then you got 3 hours to go and shop before you can come back and see Santa Claus.
And that's only going to get worse as we go on. Now, they had him in Hollywood Studios also.
Santa Claus was over in Hollywood Studios, and he gets around because he's back in American Adventure, too, with Mrs. Claus there. It's the only place you'll find Mrs. Claus.
Very, very cool.
They have a secret shuttle service, I think, for Santa to get him to all those places.
Well, he just has to touch the side of his nose, and boom, he's
away. Yeah, Mickey's got the secret shuttle.
Well, Mickey might be lending it to Santa.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, happy belated birthday to Mickey Mouse, by the way. Speaking of that.
90. Man, he's looking good.
Walt Disney's birthday also, December 5th.
Yep.
Yeah. 117 years old, I believe, for Walt.
Yeah, that sounds right. 1901? Or was it 1900? What did he fake to get into the Army?
I think it was... I think we're going with 01.
Well, it was 01, but he changed the... As the story goes at his museum, he changed the 1 to a 0 to make it look like he was born in 1900 and not 1901 so he could get into the Air Force in World War I. Interesting story, but for another day.
Okay, guys, so that's it for show number 265 from the Disney Nerds podcast. Sam, thanks so much for that trip report. Very, very informative. I love to hear about people's trips down to Walt Disney World. You learn so much.
And it helps our Disney post-trip depressions,
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Definitely helps it. Okay, guys, let's hear from you. Tell us what you think about trips down to Walt Disney World. Have you just gotten back? Are you getting ready to go? Send us an email, text us, get in touch with us on our Facebook page. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with us.
How did Jimmy get in there again?
He sneaks in.
You can email us at questions@thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds. Instagram @TheDisneyNerdsPodcast and Twitter @TheDisneyNerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.TheDisneyNerdsPodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So again, thanks for listening. This has been show number 265. For Sam, Morgan, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Have a magical night. Hakuna Matata.
Kongaloosh.
Sivako.
Sivako, I like that.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in